You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Episode 431, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com to check out everything that's coming up at Seneca. There's still more available for the Hoops Hangout, and there's obviously stuff coming up for the Solar Eclipse Watch Party. So make sure you go check it out. Again, SenecaNiagaraCasino.com. How much time did you spend yesterday watching the Baltimore Bridge and the ship?
None. Zero.
After we got off the show, you didn't watch any?
I've already told you. I in my life right now, I think news, social media is the biggest waste of time because nothing that's being said is true. And I try and do my very, very best to try and not be on it all day because it's like a drug. I mean, you could sit on your phone and scroll all day on these platforms. So no, I didn't watch one bit. Tell me what the latest news is. What do you got for me?
What'd you say? Sorry, I was watching my phone. What'd you say? Sean Puffy Combs. That story is kind of crazy. But before we get to Jeremy, though, and we are recording this open after we spoke to Jeremy, so I'm going to just say this. I think you're going to want to stick around and hear the coaching conversation in Buffalo. I think it was very interesting what he had to say. Because I don't think he has been that vocal about the coach or a coach or the Sabres all year. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah. I mean, I think the easiest thing when you ask that question about coaching here in Buffalo, or I shouldn't even say that. It's not even about coaching here in Buffalo. It's what change would you make here in Buffalo? Because something has to change. If I hear the words coming out of Kevin Adams' mouth at the end of this season, sitting in front of the media and saying, well, we gained another year of development. We gained another year of going through some tough times and figuring things out. And I think next year, our guys are going to be a year older and they're going to be a year better. Well, that's what you said last year. And your team got worse. So there needs to be action, not hoping that these players can turn things around and gain from their experiences in the league.
Yesterday, because I do remember, I actually wrote this down because I said, I need you to watch the embedded, and there's one takeaway from the Sabres embedded that I wanted to bring up. So did you watch it?
I watched a number of them, and it is very well done.
Okay, but what did you watch the trade deadline one?
I did.
Okay, that's all I had. That's what
I just wanted to say, that I think they do a very good job.
They're great productions.
They're great productions, but it's really nice to see the players behind the scenes and to see these guys talk, and just the way that they're dressed and their personalities and everything else. I really, really enjoy it. They do a good, very, very good job.
Okay. So what was your takeaway? So when you said I watched a bunch of them, that's great. But what I needed to hear was, yes, I watched the trade the deadline one. And he made a call to a player after he traded a player. Any idea what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay. He called Kyle Oposo, wished him all the best. Congrats. Thank you. Then he called another player. Called Rasmus Dahlin. And he, paraphrasing here, I can't remember exactly what he said, but just, you know, I think this is big for you too, and it puts you in a position to take the next step. Well, at what? Being a fourth line right winger or the captain? That's what I'm wondering. Pretty much spelled out to me who will be wearing the C next year or whenever the next captain comes back or is named, I should say.
Yeah, I literally thought the exact same thing. The first thing that came to my mind was, why is Kevin Adams calling Rasmus Dahlin on trade deadline day to let him know that Kyle is moving on? Like, so are you calling Rasmus Dahlin for all the decisions that you make? Like, why are you phoning players?
He's the assistant GM also. It's in his new contract.
Oh, fuck. Maybe things are just different. Maybe things are very different today than what they were when I played, but I do not remember at any point in time, and I played on four different hockey teams, that I had ever heard of a GM having discussions with a player and telling him what happened. Think if you want to call up a player and say, hey, I'm really looking at this guy, Bowen Byram. And let's just say hypothetically, he's calling Cousins. What can you tell me, Dylan? What can you tell me about Bowen Byram? Number one is, if I trade for this kid, would he be happy to come here? Oh, absolutely. He loves it. You know, he'd be a great teammate, blah, blah, blah. Well, tell me about him. Tell me about his what he does away from the rink. What does he do in the summertime? You know, does he have brothers or sisters? All this kind of stuff. I would want to know about him, and I would want to use a guy like Dylan Cousins, who knows this player really well, whether he would he be happy to come to Buffalo? Because not everybody would. But you want to know those types of things. I think that's where it's very useful to have a conversation with a player when a player on your current team knows the player that you're actually looking at. That being said, you know, I really enjoyed the embedded. I thought it was awesome to see these guys behind the scenes.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It would have been nice to, I think in the last trade deadline or something, I remember hearing the agents talk on the other end of the phone. I do remember that. Would have liked to have heard that. I think that makes it a little more real too, because, you know,
here's the thing. I think you when you're talking embedded, you're talking about things that Kevin Adams is saying, you know, Don Granato, scouts, whatever. I don't think that you can be throwing around the conversations of the before, agents maybe, and things
know,
like
that's
that.
Why
right?
They didn't. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. 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 I don't know. Those are the conversations I would like to have heard. That's all. Jack Quinn is cleared and good to go. Got that going for us, which is
that'll nice. Be really good to get him back in. I think it's like we spoke about this yesterday. It's very important for a player that has dealt with injuries, that has worked on the rehabilitation. But there's also the rehabilitation of the mental part of things too, making sure that a player feels comfortable. And I think it's a really, really good sign that hopefully he can get in these 10 games here. Play well, no expectations on him whatsoever. Not looking at expectations. I'm just looking at him to be a confident player, gain from this time playing these 10 games, hopefully get better through the 10 games. And then he's going to have a real long off season, just like he did the year before. And it's time to buckle down. You know,
I don't care what he does these last 10 games. I'm just going to make this point. And as it pertains to his next contract, because he could sign an extension this year.
He's not signing an extension.
No. Okay. All right. He needs to play a year healthy.
Yep.
I'll just leave it at that. Turca might be in a bit of a different scenario when it comes to signing contracts. I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
He's going to be a bridge deal guy. I don't think you're going to sign him long-term either. I think he's had some really good games this year. He's shown that he can score goals. What does he have, 24 goals this year? He's had a nice season, but I think he's a bridge deal guy. And there's still a year left on his contract, so...
Reinhardt,
you can't have everybody on this team signed to long-term contracts.
What's that?
I said you can't have everybody on this team sign 8-year contracts. They have put that in Tage Thompson. They've put that in Dylan Cousins, Rasmus Dahlin, and Owen Power. But you can't have your entire team on long-term contracts. So I imagine that these guys will play for their contracts. They will play for them. Probably going to be on shorter term deals, most of them.
When you're talking about contracts, you're talking about negotiating for money. And if you've been hurt in a car crash or need a personal injury attorney, there's nobody else you want negotiating on your behalf than Salino Law. Don't call someone else that does not have the experience of negotiating that they do. Call one number. It's the number 888-888-8888. Only let the best negotiate for you when it comes to getting you what you deserve for your injury. Car crash, call Salino. I just can't believe that we're putting Zach Hyman in the 50-goal category. I mean, good for him. Congratulations. But holy shit.
I said on my show the other day, my Monday show, you can give me 30 players that I would say have a chance to score 50 this year. Zach Hyman and Sam Reinhart would not have been on that list. Neither of them. I don't even think they'd be in my 50. Even though Hyman is known to score goals, Reinhart's known to score goals, but never in a million years would I have put them in my top 30 picks to score 50, which, hey, listen, congratulations to them, man. That Reinhart in a contract year. I mean, this guy's just made his life. He just created
empty netter,
his life.
Did it in the empty netter, JR.
He did. He buried it too.
JR, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think it makes much of a difference for him. And that's, it's only my opinion. Sam Reinhart is what he is. Okay. He is a very good overall player that can score goals. He can defend. He can play. He uses his body. He hits. He actually has even fought this year. Like, he is an overall very, solid, very good player, but he is not exceptional at anything that he does.
Well, he's exceptional
and
now.
For me, the difference between a 50, four-goal scorer Sam Reinhart is no different than a 34-goal Sam Reinhart when it comes to who's going to sign him to a contract. That's what I believe.
It's true that he's a solid hockey player all the way around, but the 50-goal status is a legendary status. I don't care what you say. I don't care who argues with it. Look at the amount of players that have been able to do it, and look at the last people that have done it for their teams. I was the last person to do it for the Chicago Blackhawks. That was 30 years ago. Hyman is the seventh player, the seventh for the Oilers to score 50 goals. Only the seventh. And I don't think, does Florida have a 50 goal scorer? Maybe Bure. But
Bure scored it twice.
Okay.
Reinhart is the second Panther.
Just think of that. That it is such a difficult feat to achieve, and you know Sam Reinhart is not the same. Not the same Sam Reinhart. He's a 50 goal Sam Reinhart, and that is legendary in itself because of the magnitude that it takes to get there. And
what does that mean, though, JR?
Well,
we're talking about a 28-year-old player that is coming off this year making $6.5 million.
Which means he's going to make 10 next year. That's a $4 million. That's $4 million difference in his. But does Sam care about the money? I don't know. Maybe, probably. I'm sure he's going to be really proud of it. Is it going to matter in his future? But it's a major. It's a major uptick in
I'm sorry, salary. But I don't think he can make more than Matthew Tkachuk in Florida.
Good point.
Well, Matthew, 100%. But he has bargaining power now, and he has an argument.
Let me put this in perspective. You're going to look at this and say Sam Reinhart, because he scored 50-plus goals, that he has put himself in a $10 million category. Let's say, hypothetically, and we're just going to go out on a limb, and we're going to say that there's some teams that are interested in Sam as an unrestricted free agent. One of them is going to be the Anaheim Ducks. They're going to offer him $10 million to play there. You're going to have another team. Columbus Blue Jackets are going to be very interested in building something. Sam Reinhart, a $10 million player. You're going to have the San Jose Sharks are going to want to be in on that, a $10 million player. You're also going to have the Islanders, who are going to move away some of these players that they have in their team, want to bring in Sam Reinhart as a $10 million player. Then you have the Florida Panthers, which he's been there for 3 years, and they're going to offer him 9.5 or 9.25 on an 8-year deal. Where is Sam signing?
He's probably staying in Florida.
That's my thought too. However,
that's his choice to do. He still is a $10 million player because that's what he's worth on the open market. Now, if he decides to stay less because he likes a place where he has a better chance to win a cup, that's a personal decision, but it still doesn't take away from what he's just achieved as a salary-based player and how the salaries go in the National Hockey League and how these GMs fork out these major salaries for doing special things, which Sam Reinhart just did.
Yeah.
Now Hyman on the other side has 4 more years left in his contract, and you could say he's vastly underpaid as he goes 26 goals, 33 goals, and now he's at 50.
Yeah.
And now he's got 4 years at the same contract. So it's
Who would you want? Who would you want if you had a choice? If you guys both had a choice in building your team, who would you want? William Nylander or Sam Reinhart?
Nylander.
Nylander?
Yes. Yeah, I would probably take Nylander.
Okay.
I think he's faster. I think he's more electrifying.
Yep. Sam Reinhart does a lot more things that, is not even in the stratosphere of William Nylander, which is, probably a much better defender. He's Sam more physical.
But Reinhart may arguably be one of the smartest hockey players in the NHL.
He's very smart.
He's a Swiss Army knife at the highest level. He has so many things that he does. When you talk about, you can put him as a defender. Like, he could go down as a Selke Trophy winner. He can also score goals. He can also kill penalties. He's a first-line power play guy. He can play physical. He will fight. I mean, he's a good teammate. I mean, there's everything. He's a really, really good person away from the rink. Represents your brand.
Let me ask you this question. And maybe this is a dumb question, but what player will sell more tickets?
William Nylander.
Yes, for excitement, for pizzazz, for
dynamic,
for visual. Yes, I totally agree with you. But as an all-around player, Sam Reinhart is as solid as they come. Yeah, and I don't think he got the proper respect, or at least the team around him when he was in Buffalo. And I think he's in a good place. And I totally agree with you, Riv. If he gets 9 in Florida and 10 someplace else where he's going to lose, he's going to stay in Florida.
You know, the funny thing is, JR, now that I sit there and we're talking about $10 million Sam Reinhart, why the hell are we not talking about an $11.5 million Sam Reinhart? Why is a William Nylander able to get $11.5 million and you have Sam Reinhart that we're talking as a $10 million guy? Sam Reinhart scored 33 goals last year. He scored 31 the year before that. Like, he's played very, very well.
Yeah.
Okay, no, so hold on a second. What if he lays a total egg in the playoffs? Then what happens?
Well, it definitely gives the team a little bit more of a negotiating tool against him. That's for sure.
Well, you know this, JR. If Sam Reinhart lays an egg in the playoffs, that is probably means that so did Barkov. And so did the left winger who plays with Sam Reinhart. I don't even know.
Verhaeghe.
So if Verhaeghe and Barkov have poor playoffs, Sam Reinhart's going to have a poor playoff. And you're not just looking at Sam Reinhart.
Sure. Right? Exactly. Yes. But you know how the management deals with it. They try to grab any kind of negotiating tool they can to bring your salary down, and they will use it if you don't do well in the playoffs. It's not going to work too well, but they're going to try.
Right.
For sure. And then, Hyman is very much similar. Hyman is one of the best all-around players in the game today. I say that with a little bit of I think a little safety, because here he plays very well defensively. He's an extremely, extremely dependable player. He's physical. He's a positional player. He scores goals. He works great on special teams. I mean, these are two special players that nobody saw coming to this level this year. And, somebody said
best contract in the league
right now. Pretty much.
Has to be 50 goals at 5.5.
Pretty much. So this is what my partner on Snipes and Stripes, Tim Peel, said. You know, Hyman's a 50 goal scorer. I don't care who he plays with. I hate this stuff when they say Connor McDavid made him a 50 goal scorer, or Drysdale made him a 50 goal scorer. I said, hold on a second, Tim. You mean to tell me Zach Hyman is a good goal scorer? He scored 26 and 33 in the last 2 years, but he didn't score 40. Now he scored 50. So you mean to tell me that the level of player like a Connor McDavid and a Draisaitl, especially when they're playing on the power play together, that these two players together, even Connor McDavid alone, is not enough for a player that can score goals like Zach Hyman to get another 15 or 16 goals?
Fucking right, he can't.
Absolutely. Oh, that's the absolutely.
Do you tell Tim Peel that is the dumbest fucking
absolutely
comment? Like, does Jari Kurri get 70 if he's not playing with Wayne Gretzky? Now, hold on. Let me go one step further, okay? Did you see his 50th goal? The backdoor tapping? So McDavid comes on the ice, whispers something in his ear. Draisaitl goes to the side. The two of them go bing, bang, boom, over to fucking Hyman backdoor. You think he's doing that with anyone else? With
100%. 100%.
Fucking cousins?
Come on, Timmy. Holy crap. That's Jesus a terrible Christ, take, Timmy. Man.
Jeez. I know. That's, I gave it to
you
him.
You know what, though? Hey,
he backtracked after.
Bless his heart for believing in Zach Hyman that way. Because Hyman is a good player. And I'll say this. Listen, and you can even go back and say, that was a major loss when the Leafs let him go. The Leafs were making decisions, trying to keep guys, figure out which guys to keep. They didn't keep Zach Hyman. And I think that still in the playoffs and with that kind of energy and work, I think the Leafs missed that. Even if he's only scoring 25 to 35.
Of course they do. Of course they do. Because Zach fills so many different roles that they need.
Absolutely. He is a valuable player on any team, but he's not a 50-goal guy on any team without those guys, Tim. Come on.
Well, one of Toronto's major weaknesses is their ability to play defense offensively. And Zach Hyman fills that role as well as anybody.
Who knows what Hyman could do if he's playing the wing with Mitchy Marner? You know,
maybe score 60.
They might be able to have half Matthew's salary scoring 60 plus goals and go and spend that other $7 million somewhere else.
But again, it is pretty cool. It is really cool to see those two, you know, two and three on the goals list. It's pretty surprising. It's shocking to me, but they both deserve it. I like both of them very much.
We've got quite a race here in the playoffs, man. I don't know if you're looking at the
Philly, Washington, and Jersey. It's going to be unbelievable. Good for Washington, and obviously we got to give Rivs the big props, you know, in terms of his Ovi support, because Ovi's on freaking fire. If you would have told me he had 26 goals right now, I would have said you're on drugs. And he's just lighting it up. So Ribs, good play on your foreshadowing here, bud.
It's awesome to see. I love watching Ovi. Petey and I have been doing the Ovi watch since we were downtown doing the Instigators, and we've been fascinated with this guy. I'm fascinated with this guy. I just think that he is just a marvel. Like, I mean, he's 38 years old, still going strong. I was looking at the statistics on him, and in the last 24 games, JR, he's scored 18 goals. And in the first 43 games of the season, when we were all, my heart sunk. I just felt so bad for this guy. He had 8 goals in his first 43 games of the year. Now, the last 24, he's got 18. He's got 26 in the season. And he's on
pace. He's going to get 30.
Well, if he does do that, that's going to be 18 seasons of 30 goals or more. And he will beat one player who Ovi's tied with right now.
Nope.
17 30 goal seasons. If Ovi scores, Mike Gardner.
Wow. Unbelievable.
How crazy is that? Like, it's, we're talking 18 seasons. Now, Ovi's played 19. Do you know how many he scored in the season that he did not score 30? There's one season that Ovi has not scored 30 goals plus.
Is that the lockout year?
It is the lockout year in 2020-21. Ovi in 45 games.
That wasn't lockout year. That was
COVID year.
It's the lockdown year, not the lockout. Lockdown.
Yes.
In 45 games, he had 24 goals. 24 goals.
Listen, he'd have
games.
The record by now if he didn't miss his rookie season due to a lockout. He missed his whole rookie year,
and
half a year
to COVID,
and then COVID. I mean, he's 60 goals ripped off right now, as is.
Is he the best goal scorer of all time?
I've said yes for the longest time. I've said he's the best goal scorer I've ever seen.
How many times has Ovi scored 60?
Three. Two.
Let me ask JR, when you see Ovi going on a breakaway, do you say it's a sure goal?
No.
Why?
Because he can't deke.
Okay. He's not the best fucking goal scorer. He's the best one-time guy. He's got the most power play goals.
I know
you're
going to say Mario.
The best goal scorer in the history of the game is Mario Lemieux. By far, done. End of story.
Oh, my God.
Score goals.
I mean, you have an argument because of games played and goals scored, absolutely, and ways of scoring goals, absolutely.
I don't care about number of goals. I'm talking about how you score goals. This guy scored deke, slap shots, wrist shots, backhanders.
And Ovi didn't do that? He didn't score on his back looking the other way? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that is probably the greatest goal ever in the history of the game. That one goal.
Right. But my question to both you guys is, how many times has Alex Ovechkin scored 60 goals?
I think two.
One.
65 goals. Okay.
That's his high, 65?
That's as high as 65. The next year after that was 56. Okay. So, you have Alex Ovechkin, best goal scorer of all time, scored 60 goals once in his career. Auston Matthews right now has not scored less than 34 goals in a season. And in that season, JR, in that season of 34 goals, he played 62 games. He still had 20 games left. So where I'm going with this, Auston Matthews has already scored 60 goals. Auston Matthews this year has 59. He is going to score two seasons of 60 goals. And right now, the statistics say that Auston Matthews, with what he's doing right now goal-wise, is better than Connor McDavid at the same point.
You mean Ovechkin?
Ovechkin, sorry.
I will say this. I've always said that Auston Matthews is going to be the best American goal scorer of all time. And that's not even a far cry. That's an easy prediction. You can probably say, maybe you can reuse the words. Maybe Ovechkin is the most consistent goal scorer that we have seen.
Is scoring goals like? He's scoring goals start Bossy. To right now. Mike Bossy.
Yeah, like Bossy. Like
he's scoring goals like Bossy. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. Although Bossy might have had a few more, but also Bossy played more games in those seasons. Like Matthews has been hurt a lot. But, I mean, my God, like he's putting up
sick numbers.
You go look at Mike Bossy's goal total to game.
10-50 goal score. Did he have 10-50 goal scores in a row or something like that? I don't even know.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something crazy like that. He only played
12 years.
Only played like 11 or 12 years. His last year, he played like 20, 30 games, 40 games, and he was on pace for another 60 goal season.
This is insane. Yeah. I mean, it's a great debate. There's no question, but good. And this is, and I said this on my podcast also on Snipes and Stripes. I said, it shows you why the top players get paid a lot of money and why it's important that they play to their potential, like Ovi, because Ovi was not pulling his weight in the beginning of the season. And it probably wasn't all him. There's a lot of reasons for it, but he's not scoring. The team's not winning. Ovi gets energized, starts playing really good hockey, starts scoring goals. The rest of the team follows. Now they start winning. Now they're in a playoff race. Like they're in the playoffs as of right now, when all three of us we just threw them into the garbage 3 months ago. So this is why when we're so hard on some of these players, some of these top players for not scoring or not playing well, there's a reason for it. Because those guys are the engines that run their team. Alex Ovechkin is the engine that runs the Washington Capitals, because everybody has to play better if Ovi is bringing the heat and working and doing his job. It's a must.
Let's talk about this. There's one team that clinched a playoff berth already.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
The Salvation Army Thrift Store. We're not for profit. We're for appreciating the classics. For ever-growing amateur collections. For finding the sounds that speak to your soul. We're for making a difference right here in your community. At the Salvation Army Thrift Store, we're not for profit. We're for good. Shop today at the Salvation Army Thrift Store near you.
When you get a Volvo, you get more than a car. You get My Volvo Experience. From Volvo-certified technicians that are always there for you and whose priority is your safety, to safety innovation that helps you protect what's important. Volvos are designed for less worrying and more living. Because there's nothing more important than helping keep you safe on the road. Visit MyVolvoExperience.com for further details and T's and C's.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
Did you know that last night?
Yeah,
officially,
last night, the New York Rangers have
clinched a playoff berth already. The first team to do it this year. Are they
a the four teams already? There's four teams already eliminated too, which is absolutely unbelievable. You're out with 14 games left, 13 games left.
People in Buffalo, JR, still got their fingers crossed. Meanwhile, it's like the gap just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I mean, between Buffalo, it's 8 points with a game over the Caps, who are in the wild card number two. I mean, it's over here too. You may as well eliminate them. But listen, and the West is already set, which sucks.
Yeah. Yeah,
West just is basically set. Now it just comes down to jockeying for positioning. But but the East isn't quite set. But it's teams are starting to get clipped more and more. But are the Rangers for real?
Oh yeah, I think so.
What do you mean are they for real?
I picked them at the start of the year to win the cup. I know I did. I know I picked them.
I said they were going to be one of the top teams. I think I picked Rangers Edmonton in the final. In the beginning of the Rangers Edmonton, that's who I picked as the final. It's going to be the team is good, man. I mean, Panarin has over 100 points. I never thought Panarin would score 100 points. There was a time when the Rangers weren't playing too well because Shesterkin sucked, and it's not too often that Shesterkin is going to suck, but when he's on and that team is going, look out. They can play. That Fox, Adam Fox, is one hell of a defenseman. Scored the overtime winner, I think, last night. This kid doesn't get enough credit for how good of a hockey player that he is.
But I think one of the players that has completely, I don't want to say stepped up and exploded, but I think taken the next step in his game. Oh, yeah. He was as close to being a bust as it comes, man.
Unbelievable.
He's having a great year. He's already at 47 points. Yeah.
23 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
23 goals.
Yeah. I mean, they still got Cappy Kako, who is cocky and scared of his own shadow. If he ever decided he wanted to be a hockey player, this team would be even better. But Lafreniere, good for him. He's had a great season. Exactly what they expected from him. But, you know, Kreider is such a good goal scorer. He's an underrated player. He doesn't get any attention in the league as a good goal scorer. Brocheck? Zibanejad is one of the craziest, funnest hockey players to watch.
But the thing is he's not even being Mika Zibanejad right now. He has 63 points. That's what's amazing about this team, is that last year's Zibanejad had 39 goals and 91 points. I mean, he's got 10 games left. He's at 63 points. That just goes to show you, like, you know, you don't have Chris Kreider scoring 50. You know, you got Vincent Trocheck upping his game. You got all these other guys that are upping their game. They are so deep. It's
Yeah. I like their defense too.
Up about the Rangers is they're deep in talent. And you're talking about Lafreniere, who is kind of like a very out of sight, out of mind hockey player. Would you agree with that? Like when you think of the New York Rangers, he is like the 10th guy down the list that you're thinking of when you think of the Rangers. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not further. 10. Maybe
further. Yeah. Well, no. Yeah.
If I'm naming players from the Rangers, I'm naming John Quick before I name Lafreniere. No offense.
John Quick's had an unbelievable year, but the defense on the Rangers with Trouba and Keandre Miller, and it's like there's a number of guys that have really done well. So what I'm saying to you right now is, when you think of Lafreniere and the New York Rangers that are flourishing as the top team in the National Hockey League, Alex Lafreniere has more points than Tage Thompson.
Fuck, see what there's you your. Do you see what he did, JR?
There's your Sabres salt wound for the day.
He brought it back to the Sabres. Because
I really don't give a shit about the Rangers.
JR, did you ever break your hand?
I did.
Okay. So Tage Thompson broke his hand at the start of the year, magically just comes back, and because the team is sucking and they need him. And I give the guy shit tons of credit for just showing up to morning skate one day unexpected and playing that night out of nowhere. Okay. Ripping pucks, you know, doing what he can, like knowing he's in pain. How much impact can that have on a player?
I mean, it's a reason.
I'm not putting down Tage. He would be the last goddamn guy on this team that I would put down. I'm putting in perspective of what we're talking about, the number one team in the National Hockey League. We're talking about a guy that I had just said, Lafreniere, when you think of the Rangers, he is not even in your top 10. Okay. Of people that you think about. You have two goaltenders, you have four defense, you have multiple point producers, you have physical players in the team. You do not think of Alex Lafreniere. And putting it in perspective of where the Sabres season is at, is Alex Lafreniere has two more points than Tage Thompson. I'm not putting down Tage. I'm putting down how miserable of a season this has been for the Sabres. When you have Alex Lafreniere, an out of sight, out of mind guy, have more points than our elite talent in Tage Thompson, I think he's worked his ass off. I think he's been very unlucky with opportunities.
So why but did it, you why get did you to bring put it in perspective with Lafreniere and Thompson?
So you don't think it has any goddamn bearing? I don't give a shit about the Rangers. I care about the junior or the Buffalo Sabres. I care about the Sabres. And when you sit there and our number one player, our superstar, has 45 points, and this little young out of sight guy, Lafreniere, has 47 points. It's like
he was going down Bustville.
He was going down Busty big time.
Yeah.
it just puts in perspective this the Sabres season in a nutshell. It's just like everything that I do, everything that I listen to, it's like it, I hate to say it, but it always comes back to the Sabres. And it's just like, what the hell?
Man? JR, I don't know how closely you watch the Sabres from out where you are because they are a bottom team, but I know that you come on the show, so I know you keep
up
with them.
I watch a couple games, but I watch them very closely through who scores goals and looking at the stats.
So let me ask you this, from kind of from an outsider's perspective, if you were the GM of the team or the running the team, would you fire the coach and bring in someone new next year?
Yes. 100%. I would have fired him in January.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And you're not just saying that for shock factor or to appease me, are you? Because
I said before he must have naked pictures of somebody. I said the fact that he's and by the way, I love the Granados. I love the Granados. And this is not a personal thing. And he's a good hockey person, but he's not right for this team. And this team needs a new voice. It needs a new direction. It needs a new system. They've changed players. This coach is survived mediocrity 3 times as long as other coaches have gotten fired for. And I don't know what the reasoning for. Maybe the owner doesn't want to pay 2 coaches at the same time. Maybe they're paying 3. I don't know who was before.
Yeah, he had that going on for a long time. I mean, but, you know, you're not wrong there. You know, but it's not
that's a possibility.
It's not like Granato is a
If Don Granato is the coach of the team next year, be prepared for Ribs to be mad every Wednesday morning.
Something has to happen. Do you think that's what the fans want?
Do you think that's what the fans want, Jeremy?
I would say if you polled the fans, I bet you'd get over 65% would say yes, 70. If you polled the fans.
There's just too many good named coaches out there. I mean, I saw Ottawa's list the other day and they're going after, they're going to recycle somebody probably big. There might go for someone new, maybe consider a Jay McKee who Steos had in Hamilton and the owner owned Hamilton.
Why are we going for another, but why are we bringing up a guy that's never coached before?
I'm not talking, I'm saying that's Ottawa. I've been looking at names at Ottawa's because they're starting to talk about coaching names and you hear McClellan's name and you hear all these other big names, you know? And I'm just thinking to myself, it's like the last time the Sabres did a coaching search, they looked at Lehman from Providence University, and then they looked at another college coach, and then they settled on Granato. So basically what you're telling me is you didn't do a coaching search, because that year there were about a dozen legendary coaches available, and we went back with the what I deemed at the time an inexpensive experiment. Because the owner was cutting costs, fired all his scouts, fired all his management, fired all his executives, fired everybody, because they were trying to cut costs.
So we see what happens when you try to cut costs. The Arizona Coyotes are a perfect example of what happens when you try to chintz payroll in every aspect. And you know what? The fans will see that. And Buffalo has arguably the best fan base in the league, arguably. And Pergola is very much taking that into jeopardy if he continues to. If that is the case, that he's chintzing certain areas of payroll, the fans are going to see that, and it's going to show up in their attendance. It will happen.
Oh my God, JR,
it's happening.
You're talking about the Sabres fan base. The Buffalo Sabres fan base used to be one of the best. It is not anymore.
Well, the fans, I will disagree with you because I think they still love the Sabres, but they are in a separation with them right now.
I think, Riv, what you're saying is from the standpoint of a love relationship with the team. There's no love with the team, but there is a desire for this team
to
be better.
You mean to tell
so
me?
What happens, JR, when you miss the playoffs?
If they start winning next year and they're having a good season and they're winning, do those fans come back in that building?
Some of them, not all of them. But JR, this has not been a 2-year playoff drought. This has not been a 5-year playoff drought or an 8-year playoff drought or even a decade of playoff drought. We are going on 13. Yes, you heard it correctly. 13 years. The fan base here have lost literally an entire generation. Do you understand that? Like, they have lost a generation of people that are supposed to love this sport and love their team, where they do not love. They love other teams. They love Chicago's and they love Edmonton Oilers and they love Toronto Maple Leafs because they have stars and stars win games and win championships. Here in Buffalo, we lose. We lose our best players. We have our best players leaving this city. So what I'm saying is, when you're looking at what this team needs, is Don Granato the reason why the team's losing? Could be part of it. I don't know. But all I know is there's a number of teams, Lindy Ruff, Jay Woodcroft, Dean Evason, Craig Berube, JT Smith, Lane Lambert, Todd McClellan, all got fired from their positions.
You know who else might get?
How many of those teams did better after the new coach came in?
Well, Minnesota's been doing well.
Edmonton shredded it.
Edmonton shredding it.
LA's
back LA's in
played
it.
Played well. Yeah, LA's played.
Minnesota. You want to hear the percentages, JR?
Yeah.
So, Edmonton Oilers, Jay Woodcroft, 0.269. The guy who took over is now 0.75.
Yep.
In Minnesota, Dean Evason, 0.368. The guy who took over is 0.581. Huge jump. Craig Berube is 0.482. The guy who took over, Drew Bannister, 0.594.
Better.
LA, 0.583. Todd McClellan got fired with a 23-15-10 record. 23-15-10. He is 0.583 winning percentage. The guy now is a 0.667. Yeah. Ottawa Senators, 0.423 under JT Smith. The guy now is 0.470. So slightly more.
JT Smith. It's DJ Smith.
DJ Smith. Sorry.
like JT Smith.
So here's the thing. Lambert in the Islanders had a winning record of 19-15-11, a 0.544 winning percentage. He got fired. They brought in Patrick Waugh, 0.567. So slightly higher. So all of these coaches that have been brought in all made a difference to the hockey team to go in a more positive direction.
Okay. So what is that telling you about Don Granato? Is he the problem? He's part of the problem for sure. So history shows change of leadership behind the bench sparks a team to play and win more games. I mean, you just laid it right out there. Why does he still have a job? It's crazy. It's crazy to me, especially on the 13 year, especially on the 13 year playoff drought that you're talking about. And I'm gonna go back again to the fan base.
Got an extension, Jeremy.
I'm telling you, he's got naked pictures of somebody. I'm telling you, he does. And again, nothing against Don Granato. He's a good man, and he's a smart hockey man. But it's not working. It's not working. And when it not works, that you have to move it. That's why Todd McClellan got got gassed, 6 games over .500. That's why Berube, who brought the first Stanley Cup to St. Louis, who had a 1 game over .500 record, got gassed. When it stops working, when your message stops getting to your players, you need to make a change, because you got to nip it in the butt, or else it keeps going downward in a spiral, like is what's happening with Buffalo. So there's nothing that you can say that can say he's give another shot. There's nothing that Pergola can say to me to give him another shot. It's just, it doesn't make sense.
But I think it's not just the coach, right? It's not just singularly the coach. And if you change the coach, then all of a sudden the Sabres are going to go in a different direction and start winning a ton of games.
What if you had a coach here that bench guys? What if you actually had a coach at the start of the year that was like, hey, you don't want to fucking work? Sit right here. Kind of like Sutter did in LA when they were winning cups. He benched multi-millionaires, and he goes, what'd you tell him?
There's a captain that's sitting in the press box in Philly.
Thank you. There's a captain sitting in the press box in Philly. There's a star player that was scratched in Columbus. There were star players that have been scratched in other teams. Philly's done it twice this year. Like we have done nothing. We still, you know what would wake up this team? Scratch Jeff Skinner for the rest of the year so he doesn't hit his 1,000th game. Like, do something like that. Be a Babcock type move. You need to show some bullshit before you, like, there's no respect. This guy gets trampled on. J.J. Paterka turns a puck over, comes to the bench, nothing said, out next shift. I'm pointing him out only because he's a young player. Last year, same thing. These guys were making mistake after mistake after mistake. No corrections, nothing. Nothing. You look at Vancouver, you've got Tocket, Foot, and the other fucking nut job there, Mike Yo. You turn a puck over, you come off the ice, you're like, I don't know which spot to the bench do I want to go back? Do I want to climb?
Well,
the
it's not about just being sat all the time. It's about continuing to have open dialogue to these players and having the respect of the players.
Do you know where he lost me, Riff? Do you know where he lost me? And I'm at a zero tolerance when it comes to this point. Buffalo was in Anaheim right before they played the best game that I've ever seen. He's in Anaheim and they get smoked 6-2. They didn't lose. They got smoked to one of the worst teams in the league.
They were losing like 4-0 in the first period.
Yeah. They didn't even show up to the game. And Don Granato after the game says, well, all the teams are good in this league. Everybody deserves to win sometimes. What? So you're literally giving your team a break and letting them off the hook. You don't do that as a coach. Now, I don't know what was said between Anaheim and LA, because LA, they fell down 2-0, and then they just stormed back and played an unbelievable hockey game, because I know I was at the game. They were awesome, and they showed how they could play. Okay, so they proved that they could play a certain way, but why did they just do it that night and not the night before?
Yeah, but so, Don Granato said it best. Everybody, has a chance to win in this league. I don't think the Sabres are a great hockey team. I think they have holes in their lineup. I really do believe that they have holes in their lineup. And until they fix the holes, there's going to be a leaky boat in the ocean.
Fix the biggest hole right now. Fix the biggest hole. Biggest holes behind the bench. I'm sorry. It's the biggest holes behind the bench. They got good players on that team.
It's the whole staff. You had a chance to put Mike Pekka on the bench last year. You had a chance to put Michael Pekka on the bench, and all you had to do was take Steve, I think his name is, and put him in the press box. Jason. Who's Steve Christie?
I don't even know who the hell that is.
He played for the Bills. Pardon me?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
I agree with that. Listen, they wanted Mike Pekka to stay in this organization. They did. But here's where things fell apart. Mike Pekka wants to be with the players. He wants to interact with the players. He wants to give dialogue and things that he sees to these players. He wants to be a part of that coaching staff. He doesn't want to be the eye in the sky. So every single team in the league has the eye in the sky, the guy that will radio down to one of the assistant coaches that has a little mic and something in his ear, and they can discuss certain things that are being watched up in the sky. Well, Mike Pekka wanted to be on the bench. He wants to be with the players. Don Granato didn't want him on the bench. He would say that I'll have him, but I want him up in the press box.
Why do you think that is?
Well, no. Why do you think that is?
Because people get fearful of their jobs. They get fearful of other people that might have more experience or a stronger personality or a stronger hold on things, and they're in fear of their jobs. And that's
well, let me ask you,
that's a natural thing. So
let me ask you this, Jeremy. You play for the Buffalo Sabres today, and you're 26-year-old Jeremy Roenick, 24-year-old Jeremy Roenick, 22-year-old Jeremy Roenick. 22-year-old Jeremy Roenick comes off the bench.
We don't have many players over 26, Petey. So
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, let's go 22.
But I was going younger because at 27, JR, you know, probably wasn't fucking asking anybody anything. But 22-year-old Jeremy Roenick comes off the ice. And here's your lineup of options. Matt Ellis, who's a very knowledgeable hockey person, played with him. Don Granato, Marty Wilford, or Michael Pekka. You have a question about something that just happened on the ice.
Yeah. Jason Christie is on the bench too, Petey. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, in this scenario, Christie's up.
It's not even a choice. You're going to Pekka. You're going to Michael Pekka. No question. Like, yeah. It's just not even a question.
I think that would bother.
Yeah, other people fear their position by somebody who has more experience or is looked at differently or more respected.
Well, meanwhile, I'm the guy that thinks, oh my God, I could get Mike Pekka on my coaching staff. Fuck, bring him on. He's only going to make me look better.
100%.
Like, I just, it's just such a difference
it's sports,
of philosophy.
It's sports 101, man. It's sports 101. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this shit out. You know? Yeah.
So what you're saying to me, JR, what you're saying to Petey right now is that you feel that if the Sabres would have chose and Don Granato would have chosen to have Mike Pekka on this coaching staff, that the Sabres today would be a better hockey team.
Their odds of being a better hockey team, yes. Would they be? That you can't say. Yes, they would. But the odds of them being,
oh, I do.
100% yes.
I think they'd be playing
defensive
zone.
But let's go back and look at some of the teams that have brought back certain players that have a lot of respect and a lot of experience. The Pittsburgh Penguins. Look at all the guys that they've had on the bench behind it. You know, in the back of the locker room. Guys who are part of player personnel, player development. You know, you had Gonchar.
Sergei Gonchar, Mark Recchi.
You have Murphy. You have Tockett was there at one time. You can go down the line. You go to Detroit. Look who's in Detroit. Draper, Maltby, Yzerman. I mean, you can go – you can keep going. These guys are around the team. They're around the players. So when the players come off the ice, why do you think Adam Foote is in with Tockett? Because when players come off the ice, they have to look at somebody who's already been there and they have no excuses. There's no excuses. And you have to play a certain way because you are asked to play a certain way from someone who's already been there. So yeah, it makes a difference. So it's human nature.
So it's basically just another failure on their part that you can chalk up. is basically what you're saying. I hate to say it, but when you're going to leave a hockey mind that is spent a few years in the minors dealing with the prospect pool and understanding those players, how you would not, or how you would let Mike Pekka go is absolutely beyond me. Unless his personality is so big, so strong, that it just scares the shit out of all the other coaches.
Yeah, and the GM. Mike Pekka's got a lot of clout around here.
Apparently not.
Well, or apparently so. Or apparently so. So much so that he was scared out of town. Not he wasn't scared, but somebody else was. How about Shane Doan's son making his NHL debut last night and scoring not just once, but twice?
No way.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Josh Doan. You played with Shane Doan, right?
Yeah, he's one of the greatest guys ever. One of the greatest guys ever.
He's a second round pick, went to Arizona State University, and played his first NHL game last night, did the rookie lap, and had
got two goals. Wow. I'm calling Shane right after I get off the phone with you.
What was he like? What was he like as a teammate?
He's the nicest person ever. He was so nice that sometimes you wanted to slap him around, say, stop being so nice. Just pleasant, fun to be around. Always had a really infectious smile. Was always nice to everybody. Was always polite to everybody. Then when he got on the ice, he got mean. And he played hard. And he hit. And he complained. And he bitched. And he played the game the right way. And he was one of the best Coyotes of all time. And one of the best leaders of all time. But he's just so nice that you're like, Doaner, stop being so nice.
Played his entire career with one team. I mean, I know he started in Winnipeg, but they moved to Arizona. Yeah, he was there.
He struggled with wanting to with maybe moving to win a cup, but he was loyal and stayed with the team. That's how he is. He's a loyal ass person. I love Shane Doan. Absolutely love Shane Doan.
I remember hearing an interview. I remember hearing an interview the year that Arizona and Buffalo were both tanking for McDavid or Eichel. You know, mm-hmm. Eichel was the mm-hmm. consolation prize. And he went off on a media member. Not went off, but he was respectful, just talking about tanking and players wanting to lose. And he referenced, he's like, yeah, maybe organizations want your team to do a certain, you know, finish a certain spot so they can, you know, benefit in another way. He said, but if you're actually thinking that players are out there tanking, he said, you don't understand pro athletes.
Yeah.
And he's
the best. I love him.
Yeah, he's
the best.
Need more players like him. Anyway,
he's not the best. You two are the best. Oh, I love you guys.
We love you.
Thanks, Jared.
Love you guys.
Thanks,
have a good
Jared.
Day, buddy.
That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.